When Christians give to God's work, it shouldn't come from a spirit of obligation or religious duty, or as the result of someone's clever manipulation, guilting you into giving. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. This is the verse that informed the title of Chuck Swindoll's current teaching series called Hilarious Generosity. We invite you to follow along today as Chuck explains the countercultural wisdom on releasing our personal possessions. The outcome is not loss nor suffering, but it's something far more refreshing. Chuck titled today's message, Contentment, Generosity, and You.
Reveal to us today, our Father, the great benefit of having a contented spirit, which can come only through a relationship with you that replaces striving and panic and uneasiness and worry with peace and joy and real living. Thank you for the gift that brings this to us in Christ. Help us to think clearly as we meet. Deliver us from just the rote activity of religious pastime. May we realize the value of taking you seriously and reading your word with attention to detail and understanding that you are speaking to us in this generation, now, in this 21st century. Show us, we pray, an understanding of how our money might be used wisely and well when invested in spiritual things. Break us from the habit of fear or the long-standing stinginess that has marked our lives. And may we know the joy of living open-handedly before you because of a relationship with you made possible through Christ. We are so concerned about our country. We're so concerned about those around this world paying the ultimate price for their faith in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will intervene in your time and in your way. In the process, protect us, we ask. Not because we deserve it, but because we trust in you, who always deals with your people in grace. We claim that now and we rest in it. I pray for those who have lost loved ones and are now living their lives alone, sitting at a table for one, sleeping in a bed of one. I pray that you would minister to them in deep and profound ways, that you would give them the companionship of Christ as their friend, as the one who is closer than a brother or a husband or even a wife. May your love surround us all and quiet our spirits as we rest in you. Now, Lord, we give because we love to do this and because we believe it will be used wisely and well. May those who represent you in places beyond our own shores be encouraged by our support. May these gifts be used to reach out to those who are in far greater need than we. And may we find joy in knowing we have invested in the lives of others for the sake of eternity. Minister to us, we pray, during this time of offering, and find our motive as well as our gifts pleasing to you. For we give these gifts to you in the name of Jesus, who has delivered us from the kingdom of ourselves to the kingdom of you and your Son, Christ, in whose name we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Contentment, Generosity, and You.
To the point of where we are today, the Apostle Paul is an aging, seasoned missionary. He hasn't much longer on this earth when he picks up his pen to write his younger friend, Timothy. Timothy is timid. As best we can tell, he is not that well. Timothy is obviously unsure of certain things. So the apostle writes for various reasons, as one would mentor a younger and insecure young person in ministry. Paul writes to encourage him to pursue those things that are timeless and true. Two of them tie together in this message today. One is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Find 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and look at the latter part of the verse. Train yourself to be godly. Obedience never comes naturally. It becomes a supernatural ingredient in our lives that results in godliness as the Spirit of God trains us through the process of discipline, determination, and those great goals that lead to this life of godliness. So, Timothy, godliness is always timely, always relevant. Go there. Chapter 6, verse 6, he links godliness, please observe, with contentment. Look at it for yourself. True godliness, which is just what he mentioned in 4:7, with contentment, which he now adds in this sixth verse, when you put them together, it leads to great gain. I would like to suggest it even includes the whole idea of becoming great-hearted, unselfish, generous. When you put godliness with contentment, you have that which leads to great gain. Now, this is in a context that's significant. Verse 5, Paul puts his finger on what happened then and what happens to this day. Look at it. There are people who always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt. They've turned their backs on the truth. Don't miss that. They've turned away from the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. We have a saying, he's in it for the money. Few things are more detestable among people in ministry than greed. And it's all around us. Signs of greed. Wanting to get rich out of the false piety that is seen within the lines of verse 5. So he says, don't go there, Timothy. Go with true godliness and make sure it is mixed with contentment. Now, what are some benefits of contentment? Let me name three that come to mind. First, the current enjoyment of one's lot rather than constantly striving for something else. You are contented when you enjoy your current circumstances. Contented Christians don't have to wait until their salary reaches six or seven figures in order to be happy. Here's a second benefit. It gives us the freedom to recognize and applaud another's achievement rather than be consumed by envy. Is there anything more draining than envy? When you're contented, you're released from the grip of competing with others. Someone gets a raise, you can applaud it. Someone has a position that pays them far more than you make, you find joy in that. Rather than comparison, or rather than grinding envy, you can simply say, isn't that great that they have that to enjoy? Contentment, as you cultivate it, will free you from competition. Here's a third benefit. It enables us to cultivate a grateful spirit. Those who lack contentment have no clue what it means to be truly thankful. When you're contented, you live your life grateful, so grateful for what we have. It may not be what others have. It certainly is more than many have, but this is what we have, and isn't this terrific? When you mix that kind of contentment with godliness, generosity begins to flow. It isn't a fight. Now then, Paul is a realist, and he knows that Timothy is ministering to people in two categories, aside from those contented. There are those who long to be rich, and there are those who are already rich. So Paul instructs Timothy in what to say or how to minister to those in each category. First, those who long to be rich. Now, how do I get that? Verse 9 makes the statement. People who long to be rich, and now he brings the warnings. Look at what he says. They fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Now, before I go any further with that, what is a better mentality than longing for more? Well, if you will go back to the end of verse 7, you will see the answer. See what he says? After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. You and I were born without clothing, without money, without knowledge. We were fully needy, just tiny little wriggling, crying babies. And he says next, and we can't take anything with us when we leave this world. Job put his finger on it after losing everything. Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will return. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. I give him my praise. Perfect contentment. Amazing contentment. Now, not all operate their lives like that. Some of you don't. And you are thinking, if I could just, and you name it, have more, I would find a contentment I've never, no, you really wouldn't. Because that is a mentality that deals with the accumulation of wealth, not an attitude toward wealth. Look at what he says. Verse 8, so if we have enough food and clothing, let's start there. Let's be content. You know what food and clothing represent? The essentials. Let me name them. To live, we need air. We certainly need food. We need liquid. We need water. We need something to clothe ourselves, and we need some shelter to protect ourselves from the elements. Those are what we call the bare essentials of life. If we have enough of the essentials, we're contented. Now, the greedy mentality has to have more. I put together a little brief list with two columns in my note here. On the left, I read, contentment says, and on the right, greed says. Listen to contentment's words. I've got a vehicle that gets me to work and to the store, and it's running, and it's a real convenience. Greed says, what I really need is a Bentley, a couple of really nice, expensive sport cars. That's what I really need. And if I had those things, oh, man, would I be generous? No. You'd be worried about somebody keying your Bentley. You couldn't drive it in public. I guess you drive it in your garage back and forth. Nothing wrong with a Bentley. Don't misunderstand the point. If you have to have something more to satisfy you, that's where contentment takes flight. You have wheels. You have a car that gets you around. Chances are good it's a better car than your folks ever drove. It's true, and it suffices. We're satisfied. Let's go to where we live. Contentment says, having a roof over my head, insulated walls, and the comfort of heating and air conditioning, this is nice. This is more than many had. Like many of you, I was raised without air conditioning. I remember when my dad finally bought a window air conditioner, Feder's window air conditioner. He put it in the living room. So we slept in the living room. We ate in the living room. We lived in the living room. We had fun in the living room. We had our piano in the living room. And we went to the bedroom just to get our clothes to come back to the living room, because that's the one place that was so good. We all, most of us, I would say, have air-conditioned places and warm homes in the winter. Contentment says, hey, that's nice. But when you need several roofs over your head to be happy, when you need something larger, more and more, greed says you've got to have that or you won't really be happy. Nothing wrong with having more. By the way, the Lord never shames those who have much unless it's ill-gained. We all have more than third world countries have. So we're all in that sense rich. But compared to one another, there are people who have several homes. There are those of us who have one, and that's fine. That's the way life is. But if you have to have more, then you're moving in a wrong direction. I'll talk with you in a moment. Contentment says a nice outfit for this occasion, comfortable clothing to wear, few shoes, hopefully they match, little jewelry. I'm fine. Greed says, I need more expensive outfits to impress others. I need lots of casual things, and you can never have enough shoes. And I certainly need more jewelry. You see, the satisfying words are, that's enough. The greedy words are, I need more. Now, what does the Lord say to both? What does He say? Look at verse 9. People who long to be rich, they're the envious ones. And verse 17, those who are rich. So we got two categories. What does He say to those who long to be rich? Well, He offers a warning. Listen to what the truth is. This is from the Bible. If you long to be rich, you will fall into temptation and you will be trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that will plunge you into ruin and destruction. Why? Read on. Because the love of money, don't misread that, not money, not even a lot of money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. It's that slippery slope downward where you move away from the basics of life and you get yourself entangled in the complications that feed your greed. The Phillips says they set their hearts on being wealthy. Amplified Bible, those who crave to be rich. The Message reads, If it's money these leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely. Simply saying what this verse is saying, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. All of us are wise to hear this, to heed the warning. Not having as much as others is no safeguard against greed. Matter of fact, envy is a terrible, relentless taskmaster. You will forever compare, and those without much are often far more greedy than those who have much. So second, let's look at the instruction to those who are rich. What are we to do there? Well, we're to teach them. Please observe. Three things are to be taught to those of you who are rich, right from the scriptures. Look at the verses, 17. Teach those who are rich in this world, first, not to be proud. Number one, the lesson is guard against pride. Okay? Easy to get proud when you're loaded. Easy to be proud when you can have whatever you want to buy. So what he's saying is if you've got it, don't flaunt it. Being wealthy needs to be handled with humility. There's great responsibility when you've got it. And that's knowing how to handle it. But that's not all. Guard against pride. Here's the second. Look at the verse. And not to trust in their money. Very clearly written. Don't trust in your money. So the second lesson is don't find security in your wealth. Here's the third lesson. Maintain the right perspective. Look at this. Not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Isn't that great? Enjoyment. There's no shame in having much. There's nothing wrong with having multiple cars. Nothing wrong with having more than one house. That's not the point here. It's knowing how to handle it.
Well, those are three practical lessons we can implement in our lives right away. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's message, Contentment, Generosity, and You. There's much more teaching ahead, so please keep listening. Also, Chuck has prepared a closing comment just for our listening family in a moment. But first, you'll want to know we're taking a short break in our study of Revelation. We'll come back to that series in just a few weeks. And this is the perfect time to contact Insight for Living regarding the many resources we've paired with his teaching series. For example, we're pleased to offer you a series of brand new spiral-bound Bible study workbooks called Searching the Scriptures. In a format that allows you to open the pages on your lap, these workbooks give you key outline points, discussion points, and practical application. And you can easily jot down your personal notes and observations as well. To purchase these affordable Searching the Scriptures Bible study workbooks for Revelation Acts 1 and 2, give us a call at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. Insight for Living relies on your personal support to make these daily programs. And it might surprise you to learn how many people listen to the program but rarely get in touch. So your gift of any amount will make a great impact on those who listen to Insight for Living. And now, here's Chuck.
Since our beginning, we've always relied on the Lord's leading to support the work of this ministry. We have no grant. We have no denominational background that we can fall back on, no rich group of people that we can call on, though there are some who give sizable gifts. Many support us with smaller gifts, regular gifts. And often some wait until the very end of our fiscal year, and then they give their gift at that time. That may be your style. And there may be some of you who have benefited from our ministry for some time, but you've never sent in a gift. So let me tell you the importance of your donation. Without the giving of God's people, there cannot be Insight for Living Ministries. We can't continue without the faithful support of people just like you. And let me add this, even though it probably doesn't need to be said. I give you my word that we will never hedge on matters like integrity, faithfulness, trustworthiness. Even though you're not here and we're not there where you are, we trust each other from a distance. And you have no reason to wonder if your gifts are being used wisely. We are so careful with the giving of God's people because it's God's money to implement into various phases of our work. We're committed to the expository teaching of the scriptures regularly on our broadcast, through our podcasts, in various kinds of ministries, such as the written word, spoken word. And all of it is meant to encourage you in your growth. You may have come to know Christ through our ministry. We'd love to hear your story as you send your gift with that story of your salvation. Thank you in advance for what you're able to provide. We will accept it by His grace in the name of Christ, who prompts you to give and leads us in the way we handle what has been given for the work of the ministry. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. And here's how to respond. If you prefer to send a personal check in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or just give us a call at 800-772-8888. And you can give online at insight.org. Are you trying to find a true sense of satisfaction? I'm Bill Meyer. Be sure to hear Chuck Swindoll's message on contentment Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Contentment, Generosity, and You, was copyrighted in 2015, 2016, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.